Welcome to The Spirit of Chester County, a program which introduces you to Catholics in Chester County and the western suburbs who are making a difference with the Catholic faith. Now with this week's guest, here's Lloyd Broach on The Spirit of Chester County.
Every week we try to bring something new to this program, and I think that this is probably going to be one of the more interesting programs we've done on this show because of its topic and its subject nature. We've talked a lot about the pro-life movement over the years on this program. As you know, a few months ago we had the folks from the Pro-Life Coalition on, and during the Operation 40 Days for Life we did a program about that. But this is kind of the other end of the spectrum. This is, I call it, kind of getting at the root of the problem. And the culture of life has many, many aspects to it that we must attack in order to keep it going. And I have met two fascinating people. One is Stephanie Deutsch and the other is Will Panagakis, who are involved with Generation Life in Westchester. And we're going to learn all about Generation Life in a minute. But these young people, and they are young, compared to me, everybody's young, but they're young, and they are really directing their efforts at their own generation and maybe even the generation before them. Because in order to battle this culture of death, we have to get out to the folks that are mattering and meeting the young people, the people that are about to start their lives, and get their head on right about this kind of thing. So I think I'm fairly accurately surmising what Generation Life does. But we're going to ask the expert. First, we're going to talk to Will Panagakis. Will, you are identified here as a Philadelphia missionary. And I think that's an interesting title. Where did that come from? Is that something you guys invented, or you could have been called anything? Why'd you pick that?
Sure. Well, we call ourselves missionaries because, I mean, we are just that. We're full-time volunteers. The speakers for Generation Life are not paid employees. We're giving a year of our life to serve the pro-life movement in this way.
Okay, so you truly are missionaries. You're in here on your own ticket. You're doing it because you want to.
Truly.
And, you know, no one's giving you $100,000 a year to be in here and do this kind of thing.
Exactly.
All right, well, now that unto itself is unusual. A lot of people say young people aren't doing this anymore, other than the people who maybe are entering the clergy. and I suspect this is about as close to entering the clergy as you can get without doing that.
Maybe, yeah.
Tell me about Generation Life. It was started a few years ago here in Westchester, which I think is particularly interesting that it was generated here in Chester County. What was the causal lead? What was the raison d'etre what was the reason they did this?
Well, I think that the pro-life movement has been very strong in this part of Pennsylvania, but there was a point where they looked at the movement and said, we need young people to be leading the pro-life movement, reaching young people. We need the young people reaching out to the young people. And so it was Mike McMonigal who founded Generation Life. And he actually started it in Orland 11 years ago. And since then, it has moved to Westchester. But the way it started was just young people building this culture of life. You know, that's kind of our tagline, young people building a culture of life, because it's what we are. It's what we're doing.
Right. And Orland Montgomery County is a little far from here. So what brought it to Westchester? Do you have any idea?
You know, I think it was just a matter of the opportunities that arose.
Right.
I don't know the true specifics, yeah. But we are here now. So we.
Well, obviously there's a strong pro-life contingent here in Chester County with the Pro-Life Coalition and Birthright and all the rest of them here. So it's a good place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm in Will's office here, which is in Westchester, not far off of 202, and they have a couple of folks in here. And both of you, and we're going to meet Stephanie in a minute, but both of you are volunteer missionaries. You do this for a year at a time? Is that how it goes?
Yes, we do 1 year of service just from June to June.
Mm-hmm. Can you re-up if you want to?
Yeah, that's actually what I did. I started when I graduated college, and then after that I signed on for another year.
Well, now explain to me, though, what you do when you go out and talk to the young people. I mean, obviously, you want to talk about the pro-life movement, but it's more than that. It's about chastity and everything connected to that.
Right. So Generation Life, the other side of it, which I didn't get to, is that we are a pro-life movement, but more than that, instead of just speaking out against abortion, we are really getting to the heart of what it means to be pro-life and for a culture of life, which is, at the heart of that is authentic love, and at the heart of authentic love is living the virtue of chastity in all of your relationships. And so we see that if chastity was not violated, abortion wouldn't be the problem that it is. And the pro-life movement, I mean, it's all rooted in chastity. And so we see that chastity is the foundation and a proper understanding of sex and our sexuality and the gift and the beauty that that is. This is the key to a culture of life. So what we do is we travel throughout the Philadelphia area, the five counties, and we speak in many, many schools to students as young as seventh grade all the way up until high school, to seniors and even some colleges and young adult groups. We speak, but not just about what it means to be pro-life. We have talks designated to exactly being pro-life. And then we speak also about living chastity. And we also speak about authentic manhood and authentic womanhood. And we speak about relationships and about the media and about critical thinking and about just chastity in all of those regards and marriage and the importance of the family.
These are pretty old-fashioned values you're talking about. I mean, when I was a kid in parochial school, the intent was the same, but the methods were different. The nuns would just terrorize you,
right.
And you would never even suggest of doing anything like this mm-hmm. because you knew the incredible consequences. But
sure.
we can't use those kind of methods anymore because
right.
I think that what you have to compete with today is far, far more difficult and far more vicious than we ever saw. You've got a mass media culture of life that supports the exact opposite of what you're talking about, don't you?
Sure. And I think to say that it's an old-fashioned value, a big part of the problem is that a lot of people look at chastity and they look at the idea of treating women right or being a real man or real woman or the importance of the family. They look at that as old-fashioned, but it's not. These are at the heart and the center and the core of culture and of society. And so it's not that chastity is old-fashioned. It's just that we're living in a time where virtue seems completely backwards, but it's not. And so what we do always appeals. Because we don't appeal to a fear factor. We don't go into the classroom and try to scare them into doing these things. We go in there and we convey the truth to them and we leave it up to them to decide. But I mean, many times we'll literally say to them, we're not trying to scare you into this, but this is the truth and this is the reality and this is what's best for you. And they recognize it every time. They do.
And the ultimate respect for men and women comes out of this.
Absolutely.
It's not what people say today. If you respect someone, you're going to respect their value
right.
as an individual.
Right.
Joining Will is Stephanie Deutsch. And before we proceeded, I wanted to get the female perspective on this because here we are talking about respect for women and we're not talking to any women about it. So I wanted to find out. Stephanie, you certainly agree with the principles that Will just pointed, but young girls today are really under attack. I mean, they everywhere they turn. I mean, from short dresses to being provocative, they watch their entertainment heroes on television, and that is presented to them as the norm. How on earth do you battle that? That must be so difficult.
I think really at the center and the heart of that is the feminine desire for love that every single girl can relate to. Sometimes I talk to the girls that Lady Gaga and Rihanna and Katy Perry, they all want what we want, and that's authentic love. And the real question is, how do we obtain authentic love? Now our culture is telling us, you have to dress this way. You have to reveal yourself, your mystery, your beauty to get the guys. And to combat that, just the demeaning and the diminishing of feminine dignity and value and beauty, I really ask the girls, and I have to ask myself daily, every girl does, what am I seeking and how do I obtain this? Am I really going to obtain authentic love or just the counterfeit of that?
How do the young teens, especially the preteens, react to a notion like this? I mean, are they surprised or what's been your experience?
There's been a very wide array of reactions to this message. It really depends on their family, their school, their friends, what they've heard, what they haven't heard. Some girls absolutely are on board immediately because it resonates so deeply in their heart. Like, I know this is truth. This resonates and rings true inside of me. Some girls have been already so wounded and damaged as preteens. Even them, though, something resonates in them that they were made for respect, for love, to be cherished, to be treated with just authentic love. Right. So there are some girls that think it's a joke when we tell them about, say, modesty. But at the heart of it is a longing, all of them, for it just to be treated right and to be loved right. And they know that.
Are you seeing any change in the cycle of attitudes about this, or
about modesty?
Any hope at all?
Yes.
Yeah?
I definitely see hope, and I definitely see a light in the midst of the darkness in our culture. Because when you can help a girl to understand that more is unveiled in modesty than immodesty, like more of herself as a woman and as a feminine beauty is revealed actually when she covers herself and when she retains her mystery, there is something sparks in a girl, and she knows that there is truth to that, to modesty. When you present it not as some prudish, wear a potato sack,
right,
and pretend like you're not even a woman, right, but in a very realistic sense, that's saying you are more of a lady when you present and hold yourself in this way.
Well, this is really an extraordinary notion for young boys and young girls who are not only hearing from the media the exact opposite, but they're hearing from each other the exact opposite, because the media is feeding this this mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go and look at their parents' generation and they say, well, you know, you did all this, so why should it be different for us? Do you often hear that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the awesome parts about it is, in fact, our youth and our closeness to them. And kind of like Augustine said, oh, happy fault, I tell them usually my story, and I tell them in a similar way how I failed in high school and when I was a teenager. And I tell them this is not an excuse to mess around. This is not an excuse to be unchaste now and say, I'll fix it later. You know, you messed up, why can't I? You did these things, why can't I?
Right.
It's like you have to challenge them in the moment, in the instant right there, and say, no, at some point you see the truth and it's your choice whether or not to follow it. And so if I'm understanding your question correctly, they can look at the past and say, well, they did this, why can't I? But we reveal to them, look at what fruit those mistakes in the past have bore. You know, look at what fruit has come out of the sexual revolution. And again, it's not about cornering them into living chastity and saying, this is your only choice, because if you don't live it, you're in trouble. It's saying, look at what has happened in the past 50 years in our culture, and then saying to them, you have a choice whether you want this to be your life. Do you want to get a divorce? Do you want to have a broken family? Or do you want to live a life surrounded by love and truth? And it sounds oversimplified, but the truth is that they can make the choice right now when they're 16. And that's what we put right in front of them, say, this is a choice that you can make now.
Our guests are Will Panagakis and Stephanie Deutsch of Generation Life. Both of these young people are Philadelphia missionaries of Generation Life. It is based in Westchester. And just a reminder that this program is being brought to you by generous grant from Wisenick, Brogan and Stanzione in Downingtown. We want to thank Joe Wisenick for his generous grant for this program. And when we return, we're going to learn more about Generation Life and how they're expanding throughout Chester County when Spirit of Chester County continues.
The law firm of Wisenick, Brogan and Stanzione supports Holy Spirit Radio over WCOJ. Wisenick, Brogan and Stanzione can help you with personal injury, disability, work injury, or medical negligence. Representing the communities of Chester and Berks counties and beyond with the highest ethical standards and professional excellence. Wisenick, Brogan and Stanzione is proud to support Coatesville Spotlight over WCOJ. You can reach Wisenick, Brogan and Stanzione at 610-594-1600 or on the World Wide Web at wisenickbrogan.com.
Stephanie Deutsch is a Philadelphia missionary for Generation Life, and she is joined today by Will Panagakis, and we are here in Westchester talking about this extraordinary organization, which was grown out of the pro-life movement here in Chester County, and it is so refreshing to hear young people speak the way they are. I think sometimes you feel all young people have gone over the edge and there's nothing left, but it's not the case. It really isn't. And Stephanie, during the break, I asked you and Will if you ever took your story to non-Catholic environments or non-religious environments, and you said you do. What's that like? You need to, guess, really not change the story, but maybe alter the way you do it. I mean, how's that work?
The way we approach non-religious or secular environments is not completely different, because human nature is understood generally by most people, that there is a natural order to things. There is a natural way that our bodies function. You look at science, you look at psychology, and you can see the way the brain functions, the body functions. And chastity, we don't even have to use the word chastity to show the way that our bodies and our minds are made for monogamy, are made for commitment, fidelity. All of those words seem religious when you first hear them, but they're not, because even down to the neurological structure of our brain, you can argue that chastity makes sense. So when talking in a secular environment, you can very much see that just at the heart of our culture, and in the science of all things, that 1 in 4 Americans, 1 in 5 Americans has an incurable sexually transmitted disease, right? We have abortion, infidelity, we have prostitution, all of this disastrous negative results because something is going wrong. You can just see on a very natural level, something in our culture has gone wrong. It's a red flag saying, let's wake up and look. We're misusing our sexuality. We're misusing something. And so there are negative consequences. We don't have to appeal to the gospel immediately to show that there is a natural design being violated. We definitely try and help them to see the big picture, that your individual decisions, who you become as a person, will have massive ripple effects in the entire culture and the entire world. We really definitely try and always bring it back to your decisions. Who you become will help to build the culture of life. You matter. Your individuality, your personhood matters in the big picture. And absolutely, definitely, that as we build up the understanding of marriage, of families, it all begins with the individual decision. And to live chastity really brings them into themselves, the fullness of themselves. They develop character. They develop a backbone. They know how to sacrifice. They develop morals and values just by learning to live virtue and the virtue of chastity. And that will flow out into their relationships, into their marriage, into their children. And the more children they have, obviously, the more humanized every child becomes. And that is how the culture of life begins.
When you speak to a school, whether it be Catholic or whatever, are there certain points that you cover with these young people when you go see them? I mean, is there kind of like a beginning and end? I mean, kind of give us a
yes.
little what it would be like if I were hearing Stephanie in a school talking today.
There are a couple points that we try to always relay and cover. I like to dispel the myths about chastity, that it's this repressive set of rules that we have to follow. Like, it's like the straight jacket that we wear, and it's like if you're attracted to someone, you're going to hell. And it's this very puritanical understanding of sexual desire and attraction is bad. So I try and dispel that, but I also dispel the lies of our culture, especially for girls. They need to know how often they're lied to about their beauty, their worth, their dignity, how often they are being fed falsehood that really destroys and tears them down. So I like to dispel all of the falsehood and introduce chastity as the fullness of their femininity or the fullness of the men's masculinity mm-hmm. that God intended and that God designed into our bodies for the fullness of love. So I like to always build up to a positive. Our talks always build upon you were made for greatness. You were made for a full life of love and of freedom. So once I've dispelled lies, I define chastity as, yes, saving sexually intimate acts for marriage so that you may obtain authentic love. Not just suppress yourself. It's purify your desires. Take your desires. Don't suppress them, but let God purify, sanctify, and lead you to authentic love. I touch on the state of our culture in sexually transmitted diseases, the abortion rate of infidelity, of divorce, of all of the negative things that come from misusing our sexuality. A common example a lot of us like to use is just to introduce that there is a natural law and order to things. We talk about what if you were to take your iPod swimming because you chucked out the instruction manual and you thought you knew how to use your iPod and then you went swimming with it and you're all upset because it broke. So the concept is we have chucked out the window our instruction manual that God designed and wrote into our bodies. And if we were to recover that manual that told us how to love, how our sexuality functioned, for what purpose, the beauty of marriage, if we were to recover that, that's called chastity, aligning ourselves back with the truth. And so that makes sense in their minds, that if I misuse my iPod, it'll break. If I misuse my sexuality, it'll break. There will be negative consequences. Of course, I like to then always build back up to the positive of the beauty of marriage, the purpose of marriage, the bonding that happens in the sexually intimate act is made for marriage because sex says the same thing as your marital vows. It says, I give myself to you forever. And we demonstrate that with a piece of scotch tape on their arm. We pull up a volunteer and make this like hilarious, elaborate story and fabricate the story where they're sleeping around with multiple people hooking up. And the tape becomes less and less sticky. And that is the bond of actually a biological bond of oxytocin, the hormone that is like a human super glue that bonds man and woman in the sexually intimate act and says, marital vows, I give myself to you entirely. So the main message in the end of the day is that they were made for authentic love. They were made to live this fullness, even if they've messed up, even if they've made mistakes. There's always the point where we can come before God and say, I choose to start again.
Right. Okay, Will, try to follow that act.
Yeah, right.
Is there anything that you do a little differently than Stephanie does when explaining this? Do you work as a team, by the way, or do you go out separately, or how do you usually work?
Usually we'll go out to schools two by two. Uh-huh. And when we speak, especially about chastity, we'll split it up guys and girls.
Right. Oh, so the guys talk to the guys and the girls talk to the girls.
Definitely, yeah. Because
there's certain things. So that's the giggle factor, gotcha.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We also try to hold events to bring the young people in and to get them to know about us. We have an ambassadors program is what we call it. Hmm. And it's something where we try to foster leadership amongst teens to involve themselves in the pro-life movement a little bit further. And so they meet on the first Friday of every month, and we're giving them a little bit more attention and a little bit more investment, going a little bit deeper with them into building a culture of life, whether that's giving them something a little bit more about chastity or teaching them pro-life apologetics or inviting in speakers to come and speak to them outside of speakers not from Generation Life to come in and give witness and speak.
Right.
And so we're kind of trying to foster that.
I'm in advertising. I can tell you word of mouth is still the strongest kind.
Yeah.
I mean, despite what we all say,
right.
It really is the best way. It's very important you give them this information because when you're gone, you've gotten in the car, left, you're out of the school, then the real discussion begins.
Exactly.
And anything you can arm these young people with in terms of factual information mm-hmm. is good for them, isn't it?
Yeah,
among
absolutely.
Themselves.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, I think the more that they know, the more that things get brought into the light, the more the air can get cleared and the truth can come out, because what we're really talking about is not opinion versus opinion. It's not like being pro-life is my opinion and that works for me, so it's good for me, but maybe not for that person. No, we're talking about the truth, and we're talking about something that is objective. We're talking about life and death. We're talking about science and the facts and the reality that people literally either don't know or pretend not to know, and it makes problems.
So again, as I was mentioning to Stephanie, you are back to the core of actually fixing many of the social problems in our country and the world.
Absolutely. It's difficult because the welfare system oftentimes doesn't heal the problem at the root, like you're saying, but it just puts a Band-Aid over a deep wound. And it's not to say that a family that has a lower income or a difficult – look, a broken family is still a family, you know, and a family with one parent or whatever, no parents – there's a lot of crazy things going on right now, but it doesn't diminish the value of the individual or the ties between them that make them a family. There's still strength and real love in that family. But the reality of the situation is when you find yourself in a low-income situation and you find yourself in a lower class, it's difficult to get back up to a higher class. It's very difficult to get out of that kind of situation. And on top of that, when you find yourself in a broken family like that, it's absolutely true that the advantages are lesser than if you were in a complete two-parent family that's a larger family. And so it is important to get to the root of it. And unfortunately, that problem is not – the problem of broken families and broken homes is not solved by passing out contraception, which the Department of Health is very actively pursuing. That's not fixing it, you know.
We're going to do another show on that one with you.
Yes.
That requires several hours, I think.
Sure, sure.
Our guests are Will Panagakis and Stephanie Deutsch. Both are Philadelphia missionaries for Generation Life, and their work is quite incredible. And as of in the few minutes left, we're gonna give the ladies the last word here. So it's anyway, Stephanie, we talked about the problems of the world and how they could be solved by the work you're doing. But I think that's probably overstating a little bit. And I think that what you folks are doing are really the beginning of a major movement, I hope. I would like to see Generation Life spread across the United States, where there are literally hundreds of thousands of you into these schools telling these young people this story. Because what possibly could it hurt to tell this story? I mean, have you found that to be your experience when you're talking to these kids now, that they are willing to hear it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The reception of our message is profound and very beautiful. We receive so much feedback, emails, just praise from these students who say, I've hated every school assembly since I was in a kindergartner, and this is the one that really stuck with me and really will remain with me. And a lot of youth are moved to say, I join you. I want to build the culture of life because it reigns so true and resonates so deep.
How young do you see? I mean, what grade do you start with?
Typically, seventh grade is the youngest.
Mm-hmm. And I guess when you're seventh grade, you're what, about 11, 12 years old? Is that right? 12, 13? Okay. So you can change opinions at 12 and 13. Mm. A little tougher at 18, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But still possible.
Still possible. Yeah. I like your optimism. Anything you want to add before we get out of here? No? Anything we've missed here?
It is important for people to know that we are small but expanding national measures, that we are a nonprofit and we're funded by donors that are generous, and we're always needing support and we're always needing prayer. So whoever and by whenever and wherever, we love to speak in new areas, and we always love new support and are always storming the heavens for all of the support, because this is more than just a national, cultural, social battle. It's a spiritual one as well. So we ask for prayer. We ask for financial support. And we're really excited about the great things that Generation Life will do.
I just want to add that Generation Life has a website, generationlife.org. And there you can learn a little bit more about us or see our faces or whatever and see some pictures. And also that is a way that you can donate online. So you can, there's a donate button right there. It's nice and easy. And like Stephanie said, we're literally funded by the little guy. You know, I think if some businessmen saw our numbers for the year, they'd be so surprised, you know, for what this organization runs off of and also how, you know, we are funded and run by the little guy. And if you're listening, it's people like you that make it happen, you know.
I can't think of anything that would generate more positive outcome than making a donation to this thing. I mean, you've got young people here that are working for free. I mean, what more do you want in life? You know, I mean, you've got low overhead. We're in this kind of, we'll call it modest building off of 202. This is a very worthy cause. And again, it's generationlife.org. And I want to thank Will Paganogas and Stephanie Deutsch for being so gracious and joining us. We've had a lot of fun talking to them. We always have fun on this show, but we've enjoyed talking to these folks. And it's nice to see somebody that can actually jump up and get around and do things. And it's good to see people that are young like this and doing, getting things done. For the Spirit of Chester County, this is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to The Spirit of Chester County, a program which introduces you to Catholics in Chester County and the western suburbs who are making a difference with the Catholic faith. The Spirit of Chester County is made possible by a generous grant from the law firm of Wusinek, Brogan & Stanzione in Downingtown. Join us again next time on The Spirit of Chester County, right here on 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP Holy Spirit Radio for the Delaware Valley.